Before we get into today's show, I wanted to share a review of the week from a member of our amazing VBAC Link Facebook community about Needed, a prenatal line that we love and trust here at the VBAC Link. The review reads, "Just started using Needed after finding the podcast. I have questioned my previous prenatal and knew I was seriously lacking. I have now been using Needed's prenatal vitamins, collagen protein, and hydration support. All have been great, and I have seen an amazing change and results in my body. Needed is not only loved by our own VBAC community, but is also third-party tested and backed by clinical insights from over 4,000 practitioners. If you are not already one of the hundreds of women in our Women of Strength community using Needed as your prenatal, consider switching to Needed and get 20% off your order by using code VBAC20 at thisisneeded.com. Use code VBAC20. Hello, hello, everybody. This is Megan, your host here at the VBAC Link, and we have our friend Jennifer. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi.
You guys, her story, we were just talking before the episode, has a lot of surprises, didn't expect that. Whoa, what? You know? And so I'm so excited to, I've kind of read a summary of her story and now excited to hear it from her own words. And I also thought it was kind of fun. She just was saying how her kids are excited to hear her story because know the VBAC Link podcast too.
Yeah. It was part of our preparation for the birth.
Yes.
Having them hear stuff, hear how births are, because obviously they'd never, never had any
experience. How old are your kids?
11, 9, and 3, and now newborn.
We have very similar age kids, 11 and 9, and then I have an 8-year-old this year. So then we jump. Well, that's so exciting. I'm excited to get into your age back after 3 cesareans. And all the fun things along the way, but I do have a review of the week. And this review is from MC Grace. I actually think I know who this is. It says, "Must listen for every mom to be." It says, "This podcast is a must listen, not just for the mom preparing for a VBAC, but anyone who is giving birth and has given birth or plans to give birth in the U.S. Megan wonderfully walks through personal stories while preparing and helpful advocacy tips and a solid dose of empowerment in each episode. If you want to hear people discussing their path to VBAC, if you're curious about what giving birth looks like in the U.S., and if you want tips on how to mentally, emotionally, and physically prepare yourself for the best birth, listen to this podcast." You so much for that. 100%
agree.
That was so sweet. I do agree with her. VBAC is in the title of this podcast, but it really is for anyone and everyone wanting to give birth, right?
Definitely.
I feel like if I had this podcast when I was preparing for my daughter Lainey,
before my first birth, I feel like so much could have been different.
I know. So I'm so grateful for all the Women of Strength who are sharing on this podcast, who are sharing on our social media. By the way, we are accepting stories for our social media because we do have a lot of submissions on the podcast and we can't get to everyone. We would love to still share every story possible. So if you are interested in sharing your story on our social media, email us at info@thevbaclink.com with your subject, "Share My Story," and we will get that posted. Hi, my name is Megan. Welcome to the VBAC Link podcast. I am a VBAC after 2 C-section mama, a wife, doula, and VBAC educator. This podcast was created to hold space for those wanting to know their options for birth after cesarean. It is a space where you will likely find yourself getting better educated, relate to stories like your own, and finding the inspiration to help you have a better birth experience. Although we will be sharing stories related to cesarean and VBAC, this podcast is for anyone and everyone who wants to receive evidence-based information and learn how to avoid unnecessary or undesired cesareans. The purpose of this podcast is to educate and inform. It is not meant to replace advice from any other medical professional. Okay, girl, let's dive in to all of these stories. They're all like, I don't know. I feel like each one is like the stepping stone to this final birth.
Yes.
Well, and I'm not saying you're done having babies.
Well, yeah.
Don't want to say final like you are done.
Most
but
recent.
This birth that you are sharing,
yeah.
I feel like each one came with like learning and growing and just, you know, all the steps it took to get you to this point.
Yeah. But so my first, I feel like I was so young with my first and that I didn't have any education at all, which
That's
is
how I felt.
common. But yeah, it was a slow, a slow labor, like is pretty typical for a first. And I went to the hospital right away and I just had in my mind, I didn't know about physiological birth. You know, I just knew, I was like, oh my gosh, this hurts. And I thought I needed to be in the hospital because this hurts and something must be wrong because it hurts. And then had an epidural and things were slow. And he did have meconium. They broke my water and he had meconium. And it was that cascade of interventions. And it just kind of one thing after another, it slowed down after the epidural. And at 4 centimeters, his heart rate wasn't looking great. And they said, you need a C-section. And in my mind, it was like, it was an emergency. You know, oh my gosh, I need a C-section. And
right.
And so I had the C-section and so that was the first stepping stone, like you said, didn't know anything. And then my daughter, I wanted a VBAC, like I had heard about VBAC and I was like, oh, that's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And someone who I kind of look up to told me the dangers, you know, the big risks. And they really had good intentions. They really thought it was dangerous. And so were trying to look out for me, but I was very vulnerable and they really scared me out of it. You know, they were like, you'll both die if you rupture and, you know, within a couple minutes. And now after I've learned more, I'm like, that's not even true.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time I was like, I just don't think it's worth the risk. And so I just scheduled that C-section I think each recovery was also more difficult. Like the first one was a fairly easy recovery. And then the second one was a little harder. And then my third was that there's a bigger age gap and I had educated myself a little more, or at least I knew what I wanted. I knew that I wanted a VBAC and I didn't want to deal with the drugs again after, postpartum and the numbness and everything. I just didn't want to deal with it all with the C-section. And that was during 2020 COVID year. So there was a whole other level of difficulty added in with that year, but that was the one they did a bait and switch on me. So I said from the beginning with my OBGYN, like, would you let me have a C-section or a VBAC? And they were like, yeah, we can definitely do that. We'll just look at your scar in an ultrasound later on. And as long as it looks thick enough, yeah, you can have a VBAC. And then of course my scar was not thick enough. And I've since learned, and I think on one of your podcasts, you talked about it in good detail, but that test is super, I mean, you're talking about millimeters. It's through this fuzzy black screen, you know?
Yeah.
So
not necessarily something that should be a determining factor for VBAC. And we've even had a doctor on the podcast that was like, no, the evidence is just not strong enough to go off of.
Yeah. So, but, and I was still in the mindset then of like, doctor said no, so I can't. And
yes.
So we scheduled the C-section and that one was really hard. And I think it was because I knew that I wanted a VBAC and I wasn't getting it with the other two. I didn't know I really wanted it. And so I was like, well, this is just how it is. But with the third, I was so anxious during the C-section. And I remember my doctor, like down there, and she was like, yelled to the anesthesiologist, like, you need to give her something to calm her down, because I was just like
crying.
Oh, and
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was a rough one. And then here's one of the twists in my story. So that's when I had my
the
tubes
big twist.
Tied. Yeah. So I had my tubes tied during that third C-section.
Did your provider offer that or suggest it? Or did you say, we're done having babies?
No, it was suggested to me multiple times throughout my care. I feel now like it was a little bit of coercion. But it was my choice. But my husband and I made the final decision as we were driving to get the C-section, which now I'm like, you don't decide to get your tubes tied when you're literally like 9 months pregnant. That's not when you make that decision. Any decision, but definitely not that one, you know, because you're so tired of being pregnant at that point. So I had my tubes tied during that C-section, and then the next day it was like instant regret, and I was like, I cannot believe we did this. And my husband felt the same way, and we were both just like, oh, what have we done? Like, why did we do that? And it was really hard to grieve through that. It felt like a loss, even though it wasn't, you know, it felt like I had lost a baby almost, because of that, how intense the grief was, you know, knowing that I could never have another baby. And
I understand that so much. When my husband got the vasectomy that I didn't want him to get, I was like, I'm grieving a kid I never had,
but it is,
I'm grieving a kid that I had in my mind.
Yeah, you know? Totally. And it is a very real grief. I felt, my husband right away suggested reversal, but I felt really, I dealt with a lot of guilt about that. Like, no, we chose this, and my insurance paid for this. We can't go and like spend money on getting it reversed. Like, we have to live with this. And I had to work through that guilt and shame. And finally, we were blessed to be able to get it reversed 2 years-ish after.
How was that? How was the process of that?
That was hard. It was like another C-section, the operation itself. I mean, it was outpatient, but it was like this big old C-section scar. And the pain and everything was the same, and not being able to lift. But emotionally, it was really healing.
Yeah.
Like, right away, I remember waking up from being under anesthesia after it, and I was just like crying, and the nurse was like, it's really normal to be emotional. And I was like, I'm so thankful.
Aww.
Like, just so glad. And at that point, I didn't even know if it had worked, because it's not a guaranteed
reversal.
It's not a guarantee. Like, there could be scar tissue that blocks the fallopian tubes, and
makes sense.
I think it's, I mean, depending on age and stuff, they have different success rates, but I think like 80%-ish or something like that. And then we did not conceive right away, which we always have before. And so I wasn't sure if it had been successful. It was almost a year before we finally did conceive, but we did. About a year after I'd had the reversal. So now I knew I would have the VBAC. Like, I was going to work for it and try for it. And it was during the time that I was in, like, before I had the reversal, actually, that I got really passionate about it. And I was like, this may never come to anything for me personally, because I may not ever have a baby again. But
yeah.
But I really grew passionate about birth and physiological birth, and read a lot. And I got to know about rights. I was like, I never had to have a C-section. Like, even with the last one, when he said the scar wasn't thick enough, I still didn't have to have a C-section. Like, I thought.
But we feel like that, right? When we have providers who go through a lot more training and school than we do, right? Just on our Google searches and our classes and things like that. It feels that way. It feels like we don't. Like, they know what's best and we trust them, and we should trust our providers. I'm not saying that we shouldn't trust our providers, but we kind of put everything that they say sometimes all in a basket and say, that's my fate.
Right.
But it doesn't necessarily have to be.
Yeah.
Before we continue our wonderful episode today, I wanted to talk a little bit more about Needed. When I was pregnant, I really didn't know much about what I should or shouldn't be doing. I would tend to follow apps and hope that they were telling me all the things I needed to know. I so badly wished I had known about Needed then. I spent so much money on products that were leaving me depleted in the nutrition department. Today, I am sharing my love for Needed. You deserve to have radically better nutrition, and Needed is just the place to help. They saw a need for change, and after years of research, they have created an incredible line of nutrition products that support from conception to pregnancy and beyond. Needed is not only loved by our own VBAC community, but is also third-party tested, backed by clinical insights, and supported by over 4,000 practitioners. If you're not already one of the hundreds of women in our Women of Strength community using Needed as your prenatal, consider switching to Needed. Get 20% off your order by using code VBAC20. This is needed.com again, and that is VBAC20. VBAC20.
So this time, this pregnancy was my fourth. I knew I would work for the VBAC. And at first, when I had been reading and researching and learning and everything, I knew I wanted a home birth. I was like, that's so what I desire. Like, it's so, it was just a dream for me that could be a possibility. And I knew it would help with the chances of having a VBAC, just with what I'd learned about hospital practices and stuff. And so I met with some midwives in New Mexico, where we live, and they said, I met with several, and they all said, like, law here doesn't let us do a home birth after multiple C-sections. We can do it after one, but not after multiple. And so I was just like trying to be really open and praying that we would be, you know, that the birth would be how it was supposed to be. And so I was like, okay, we'll just do the hospital and I'll be ready to stand up for myself. I'll know all my rights and I'll know all my info, and I'll just say, I'm not having a C-section. But then I met with my OB and I was like, would you support? I was expecting to have a big dialogue, and I was like, would you support a VBAC after I've had the three C-sections? You know, and I was like, expecting this like back and forth, and he was like, that's a hard no. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess we're done.
Okay.
So I started looking in El Paso, Texas, which is just 2 hours away from us, because one of the midwives had said that the laws were different in Texas. And so we found a really great experienced midwife there in El Paso. And she is very confident. And I feel like that's a really huge part of getting your VBAC, is like your provider's confidence, not just that they're tolerant of it, but they're actually like, yeah, you can do this, which is how she was. And
how it should be.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we did my prenatal care with her, and it was a normal pregnancy. And then I went into labor midnight, a week and a day before Christmas.
And you went there. You had an Airbnb, right?
Yes.
So
that's the other twist and turn.
Yeah.
Is so we're doing this home birth, but we don't live in El Paso, obviously. So the plan was to get an Airbnb and birth there. And at first we were gonna get it ahead of time, but just planning wise and money wise, we decided not to do that because like we still could have missed it even if we booked 2 weeks, you know, around the due
and
date.
And that's a lot of money to spend. And
yes. Yeah. So we ended up just deciding to wait until I went into labor and then we'd book an Airbnb. And the backup plan was we could do like a hotel suite if we couldn't find
an
Airbnb.
Available.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So midnight was like the worst time that I could have gone into labor because you check in to an Airbnb at like 3 PM. And midnight is about as long away as you can get from like afternoon. So, but it was fine because it did progress really slowly because it, even though it was my fourth birth, it was like a first time labor.
Yep.
Not
first
having...
time you did really like, well, I mean, you labored.
I labored for a while.
Yeah.
A little while, but I never got into
past
active
four,
labor.
Right?
Yeah. So it was slow and we had time. We just like messaged all the Airbnbs that would have worked for us and we're like, could you let us check in this morning? And they were all like, we have a guest and then we have to clean, so we can let you check in at 3 or 4 or whatever. And finally one was like, we're cleaning it now and I'm gonna have it ready by 11. And we were like, we'll take it.
Done.
Yeah. And it was beautiful. It was a great house to give birth in. And
good.
And so I labored slowly. It was really slow. And then all of a sudden it seemed like it was picking up. And for a minute, I thought people weren't going to get there. And I texted all my support people and I was like, you need to come now. You might miss it. But we had plenty of time. So I had a doula and my midwife there and my friend, my sister and my sister-in-law. So a lot of support,
awesome.
Which I ended up just really needing. I felt so in need of support, like touch and
yes.
prayers and drinks and back rubs and everything that could be, which I'm kind of like a reserved person. That's not my normal personality, but in labor it was. And I was also really bossy. I was like, cover me up right now. Okay, take the blanket off. And, you know, I need the heating pad. Give me a drink. And I told my sister-in-law to, I asked her to change because she smelled so strong like perfume and I'm really sensitive to smells. I was like, could you please change your shirt? I'm so sorry, but I just got super bossy in labor. My doula was great. She did lots of hip squeezes and counter pressure and that was so helpful. And I remember during the hardest last few hours, I was like, how has any woman ever done this? How has any woman ever made it through labor? And I just felt like there was no escape and it was just going to go on forever. And my midwife got kind of stern with me, which was hard, really hard in the moment because I felt like she was being really mean. And
yeah.
My doula told me afterwards that she's kind of in the middle range. Like she's worked with midwives who are really aggressive and with midwives who are like really gentle and that this was kind of mid-range. And I was like, I guess that's good. And I realized afterwards it was really good and it helped push me through. But she was like, you need to get out of your head. You need to stop feeling sorry for yourself and do the work. And I was like, you're being
that
so
is hard
mean.
That is hard to hear when you're going through labor.
Yeah, it was. But I think there was a part of me that did feel sorry for myself for going through it, you know, and I did need to get the mindset, like,
we're doing
I need
this.
To finish this, you know. And near the very end, she wanted to check me, and I hadn't wanted any cervical checks. I did end up having 3 total, so I had one in the very beginning just to make sure it was really it.
Oh,
and then she had checked me sometime in the afternoon, evening, and that's what I this is why I didn't want cervical checks, because I was only at 5, and I was sure I must almost be done. I was like, I must be at 9.
Yeah.
Only at 5, and I was like, How am I going to go this much longer? But then at the end, she wanted to check me again, and I did not want to be checked again. And she said, if you're not progressed much from where you were earlier with the way you're coping, we probably need to go to the hospital and get you an epidural and get you some Pitocin and move this along. And I found out later that the baby's heart rate at that time was looking iffy. It had been spiking and then going back to normal. And that, I don't know if they didn't tell me during the time or if I just don't remember it because labor. But that's why she was really like urgent to check me. And I was really resistant of it. But finally, I was like, okay, fine. And when she checked me, she was like, there's no cervix. You're ready to push. And
it's probably one of the reasons why baby. So that's a common thing when like babies like come down, cervix opens, everything's like complete. Sometimes babies can do a little funky. Whoa, what's going on here? Heart rate.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that would make sense. But I wasn't pushing or anything. I had all these expectations. I'd expected to do lots of different positions. And then in the moment, I was like, I just have to survive in whatever position I happen to be in. And I'd expected to feel that real urge to push, and there really wasn't. She ended up, my midwife, directing me how to push, and she put me on my back, like propped up on the bed, and I didn't want to be on my back because I knew that's not like an optimal position for pushing, but I was so tired. This was around 2 in the morning. The next morning after I had gone into labor, the midnight before, it's like a 26-hour labor altogether. So I was so tired. And so I was on my back and she was telling me to hold my breath and bear down. And I just, that was the hardest, pushing was the hardest thing I ever done. And I wanted to blow out, you know, and let some of my air out. And she's like, stop it, hold your breath. And I could not feel the baby coming down. I felt no ring of fire. I didn't feel any of it. All I felt was the contractions. Like it was, they were so intense, and trying to bear down and hold my breath and not blow out was so hard, but it was effective. And it was just a few minutes, just a few contractions that I pushed for. And then her head came out. I didn't feel her head come out. And then her body right after. And I had wanted to catch her. And my midwife was like, as she guided her out, she was like, take your baby, Jennifer. And so I reached down and pulled her up to my chest. And it took a little while for it to sink in that I had the V back.
I bet.
I was just in that. I was in that state of like, this is never going to end. It's just so hard. And I was in a wanting to give up state of mind. Also, I was like, if they could bring the hospital here, I would take the epidural. I would take the C-section, you know, like in the moment, but I couldn't fathom getting in the car. That was the only thing that stopped me from like, let's just go to the hospital. Cause I could not imagine getting in a car at that point of labor.
Which says something too, right?
Yeah.
Which says it's time to have a baby.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was it. It was a beautiful time afterwards because everyone in the house heard. It was just me and my husband and my doula for most of the time in the bedroom, and but everyone heard me being very loud when I was pushing, and heard her cry when she came out. And so like my kids all came in at 2 in the morning, and my sisters, and yeah, it was just a beautiful time afterwards, and so nice to just be in a home, even if it wasn't my home,
your home.
In a home, and relaxed and comfortable. And we waited to cut the cord until the placenta came out, and it was just all relaxed and very beautiful. And we named our little daughter Willa, which means protection, and just signifies how God protected us through this, you know, thing that, that a lot of people think is really scary and really dangerous. And I'm very thankful.
There you went and you did it and weren't really any complications. How was your postpartum experience with this one? Like, how was healing and recovery? You know, you had three cesareans, it kind of started getting harder each one, and it can get harder naturally, no matter what type of birth, because we have other kids to take care of.
Yeah.
But how was your postpartum experience?
It was really good. Much easier than a C-section and really different. I mean, there's still hard stuff, like just the pressure bulging feeling that you have down there. I was like, oh, I've never experienced this before. Like, I can't sit up. I have to lay back or kind of lean to the side or something to be comfortable. And then I kept like instinctively kind of putting my hands on my scar area anytime I sneeze or cough, because that's what I'm used to having to do.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then I'd be like, oh, I don't have to do that. And
that's probably nice.
It's really nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the not having to be on painkillers afterwards, that's just a huge thing for me, because I feel like it's always kind of dulled or blurred those first few weeks, you know, like you're kind of out of it, and it's just both me and the baby are both more alert than I've ever experienced before.
Absolutely. I would agree. I mean, I was there, but it was kind of
just
blurry, and I was really tired and groggy. And you're already tired and groggy anyway after laboring, and especially after surgery. And
totally.
Well, I am so happy for you. I'm so grateful that, you know, along the way you were able to, like I said, learn and grow educationally, knowing you personally, like you were finding out who you were more personally. You're like, I have more to offer to this experience, right? Yeah. By learning and growing and advocating for yourself and, you know, driving 2 hours, that's not an easy thing. And to think like, I'm paying for a midwife, I'm renting an Airbnb. Yeah. There's a lot of like puzzle pieces that have to come together and fit. And those can be really daunting, really daunting, but typically it's worth it.
Yeah, so worth it. I've thought about that, like, along the lines of, like, eating healthy costs more and, like, is a little harder, or sometimes a lot harder. Like, it's easy to eat fast food and processed food and stuff, but when you put in the work and the money also to have, like, better health, it's worth it. And I kind of felt like that with the birth, because, we're paying for the Airbnb and we're paying for the midwife and the doula. And it was all worth it, 100%. Like,
all worth it.
Worth it to pay for that.
Yes. We've talked about this, like, many, many times ago. And I think it was Bliss Young who kind of talked about, like, how we put so much money and effort into, like, our weddings and things like that. But then when it comes to birth, we're like, whatever. Like, and then we just don't, like... We don't see the value in a lot of these things, right? Yeah. So talking about nutrition, right? Like eating really good foods, getting the good supplements, you know, finding finding the provider. And sometimes we have to pay more out of pocket for that provider or, you know, whatever it may be, right? And it's less ideal, but all grand, you know, at the very grand end. Yeah, the grand scheme, when everything is done, I feel like it's more unlikely for us to go back and be like, I regret paying for that childbirth education class, or I regret paying for a doula, or I regret finding the right provider and giving birth in a home versus the hospital, because that was my dream, you know? And I think that's
I definitely do not.
I definitely didn't either. And I remember my husband being like, you're going to choose the most expensive option. And I was like, it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it to give back to you, right? Yeah. Like, this is a really, really big day. Like, our wedding day, it's a big day. Don't get me wrong. And it's a day that's amazing. But the vulnerability and the experience that sticks with us from birth, I feel like is even bigger.
It's just huge. Yeah.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
And it was definitely all worth it to have all the extra. Yeah.
All the extra.
Things, yeah.
Yes. I just feel like not only is it worth it, you're worth it. Women of strength, you are worth whatever it may be. Because I promise you, in 25 years, you're not going to think about that $5,000 that you spent on your midwife or whatever. You know, I don't know how much midwives are in everywhere, but like, you're not going to look at that.
Right.
You're not going to look at that. You're going to be like, that was worth it. Still, you know, so yeah. Do definitely. What's best for you and know that you're worth it. You're not selfish for wanting to do things differently or spend extra money or get the education.
Yeah.
You're not. It's worth it.
And I mean, who knows, but I have a strong feeling it would have ended in a C-section if I had been in the hospital, because it's like, you know, we passed that 24-hour mark and now the baby's heart rate is looking iffy and I'm utterly exhausted and ready to give up. You know, like, I feel like there's a good chance that it could have ended in a C-section, and that's not what is best. Like, I know that's not what's best for me at this point. Like, I don't know if we're done having kids, and I know there's more complications with more C-sections. And so it was definitely worth it to also give myself the location and type of birth and everything that was going to lead more probably to success.
Right. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing your journey.
I'm so glad to have been able to. I told you at the beginning, like, we've been listening to the VBAC link all through my pregnancy. And yeah, my kids were like, are so excited that I'm going to be
on it. I can't wait to hear how they think about it when they're like, wait, whoa, that's your voice, Mom. That's your voice.
Interested in sharing your VBAC? Head over to thevbaclink.com/share to submit your story. For information on all things VBAC, including online and in-person VBAC classes, the VBAC blog, the worldwide database for VBAC doulas, and more, head over to thevbaclink.com. Congratulations on starting your journey of learning and discovery with the VBAC Link.